Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. A combat zone, no man's land, behind enemy lines. These are terms for a battlefield where militaries attack each other. Enemy soldiers engage one another and fight it out in foxholes and trenches. All weapons and resources are brought in to destroy the enemy. This is how battles are normally fought. And in our gospel reading, there is a battle of sorts, a spiritual battle between Jesus and Satan. Matthew's account vividly describes a battle in which God and Satan engage in spiritual warfare. Both Jesus and Satan employ their weapons as they clash head to head. But what is the purpose of this fight? This event took place early on in Jesus' ministry. It's roughly 3 years before he's going to be crucified. So why this battle? The account of Jesus' temptation is often portrayed merely as a model for us and how we ought to fight temptation to sin. And not that that's necessarily wrong, but is there more to this battle? Is there something deeper, something more profound with Jesus' words and actions in his fight against Satan? We'll have to take a closer look at several clues to understand what God is saying to us today through his son, Jesus. Our reading begins by stating that Jesus had been wandering and fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. Immediately preceding this, however, was Jesus' baptism. Jesus entered the waters of the Jordan River and was baptized by John. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Then God the Father proclaimed to him, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." In his baptism, Jesus' identity was affirmed, that he truly was and is the Son of God. And immediately after his baptism, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. The temptation of Jesus and his baptism are closely connected and should be read together as one account. So in this way, Jesus' baptism and temptation actually parallel the account in the book of Exodus, where God delivered the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. For just as Jesus passed through the waters of baptism in the Jordan River, the Israelites passed through the waters of the Red Sea. And just as God affirmed Jesus' identity as his son, God gave the Israelites their identity as his people, his children, on Mount Sinai. And just as Jesus wandered in the wilderness for 40 days and was tempted, the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and were constantly tested as to whether or not they would trust God. The major difference is, of course, that Jesus completely trusted and obeyed his Father, while Israel continually distrusted and disobeyed God. There's an intentional parallelism here between Jesus and the people of Israel. And here lies one clue as to what is going on here with Jesus' battle with Satan. Where the Israelites failed, Jesus was victorious. Another clue lies in the nature of Satan's temptations towards Jesus. Matthew records three temptations that Satan launched against him. He tempts Jesus to turn stones into bread, to throw himself off the temple, and to worship Satan. Now, I've always kind of thought that these were kind of weird temptations. I mean, what's wrong with getting some food? After all, Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. And later on in his ministry, Jesus will turn, he will create food in the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. So what's the big deal here? Or why would anyone be tempted to throw themselves off the temple? That's just dumb. And did Satan really think that he could get Jesus to worship him? Didn't he realize that all the kingdoms of the world already belong to him? Well, again, we need to keep Jesus' baptism in mind. At his baptism, God the Father affirmed Jesus' identity as his son. But here, the devil is seeking to lead him into being the wrong kind of son. He's attacking his identity. Satan knows Jesus has power. So instead of using his power in obedience to the Father and in service to others, he's trying to get Jesus to use his power for self-serving purposes. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, so he's hungry. He's physically vulnerable. However, Jesus knew that the Holy Spirit led him there into the wilderness. So he knew that it was God's idea and God's will that he be tempted. He knew he could trust his Father even though he was hungry. So Jesus responded with, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He had earlier heard from God's mouth words that proclaimed him to be God's beloved Son. Therefore, Jesus trusted that his hunger and his temptation were his Father's will. So he would not act against it. He would obey his Father. In the next temptation, Satan again attacked Jesus' identity as God's son. He wanted to test Jesus as to whether or not he would trust his Father to protect him. But being God's son, Jesus already knew that God had the power to protect him. Jesus then refused to misuse his Father's power. He didn't need to wonder if God would protect him. He didn't doubt his Father, but trusted him perfectly. And his response, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test," proclaimed his perfect trust in his Father. And in the final temptation, the devil tested Jesus by tempting him to lure him away from worshiping only God the Father. He wanted to break Jesus away from fully worshiping and serving God alone. Yet Jesus knew his identity as God's Son, and he knew God was his only divine Father. To worship anyone else would go against his identity. He would not turn away from wholehearted worship and devotion to his Father, regardless of anything offered to him. He boldly declared to Satan, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." After unpacking these temptations, we find that Satan specifically attacked Jesus' identity. Satan tempted Jesus to turn aside from who he truly was and from whom he belonged to, his Father. Satan did the same with the Israelites after God had led them through the Red Sea. God had declared them to be his children, but soon after crossing the sea, they began serving false gods through idolatry. They grumbled and complained against God. They doubted God's goodness and his care for them. Satan had led them away from living as God's people. He led them away from their identity. And Satan would continually lead the Israelites away from their identity as God's people through doubt, idolatry, sexual immorality, violence, and any and every other kind of sin. The Israelites failed to obey their Heavenly Father. And unfortunately, the devil does the same thing to us today. You see, our stories also parallel the Israelites' deliverance and wandering in the wilderness, and Jesus' baptism and his wandering in the wilderness. God gave you your identity as his beloved daughters and sons when you entered the waters of holy baptism. The Holy Spirit has descended upon you and created faith in you, uniting you to Christ. Your identity is now in Jesus. He's delivered you from slavery to sin and death, but we're currently wandering in the wilderness known as life. And as we wander, Satan attacks us through all kinds of temptations. Satan is a spiritual terrorist. He attacks us with temptations to those secret sins we just can't shake. He plants seeds of doubt within our hearts and minds. He leads us to mistrust not only God, but also to mistrust other Christians. He throws shade and shame upon us when we fail. He leads us into living in anxiety and fear rather than living in Christ. He gets us to see only the bad amongst other Christians and blinds us to the good things that the Holy Spirit is up to in our church. And through all of these attacks, the devil lures us away from our identities in Christ. Satan knows our vulnerabilities. He knows our fears and anxieties and weak spots. And he knows what will lead us away from God and what will lead us away from whom God has made us to be. He knows how to lead us away from our Heavenly Father. Just like the Israelites, we fail to wholeheartedly worship and serve God. We fail to obey our Heavenly Father through any and every kind of sin. And just like Satan's attacks upon the Israelites and Jesus, all these temptations are attacks upon our identity in Christ. Sin is a rejection of who God has made us in our baptism into Christ. Sin is a failure to be who God has made us to be. Satan would have us believe that our identity is found in things like our own works, or even our failures, or our sin. He would have us doubt our identity as God's children, to doubt God's goodness, to doubt Christ's forgiveness. The battle in the wilderness is a constant and personal fight, one that we can't win on our own. But praise God, there's one who did perfectly obey God the Father while he wandered in the wilderness. Thank God for Jesus that he resisted Satan's attempts to lure him away from his identity as God's son. And because Jesus perfectly obeyed and never gave into temptation, you are now credited with perfectly obeying God and never giving into temptation. You see, Jesus not only took your place on the cross, he took your place with his entire life, with his perfect service and obedience to the Father, and with his unwillingness to follow temptation or give in to sin. In your baptism, God has made Christ's perfect life yours. Jesus is your perfect substitute in every way. And this is the primary clue to understanding what God is up to in leading Jesus to be tempted. To give Jesus' perfect obedience to you. So when Satan attacks you, when he attempts to lure you away from your identity and away from him who gave you your identity, look to Jesus. Look to him who has already won the battle, who stands victorious over the enemy. Look to his grace, for he will forgive you when you lose the fight and give in to sin. He'll be with you in the battle as you wander in the wilderness, and he'll continually arm you for spiritual warfare by pointing you to himself and his word, and by constantly declaring your identity to you that you are God's beloved child. When Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated Satan. The devil has lost the war. But until Christ returns, there are many more battles to be fought in the wilderness. But we don't fight alone. We fight with the one who's already won. We fight with the one who's risen from the dead. Jesus, the victorious one, gives you the same victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus, the victorious one, walks with you in the wilderness. Remember, your identity is in Christ. You are God's child. As the Holy Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness, so the Spirit leads you today. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.